Well, if many of you know, I have been bouncing back and forth between here and Eugene, Oregon, a sort of a nomad that doesn't know where to put down his roots, it seems like. And every time I turn around, there's something that causes me to remember how unrooted I am. As I go to the cupboard to open it up and looking for a bowl for cereal, and realize, oh, in this house, it's on the other end of the kitchen. But, you know, I also, while I was in Eugene this last time around, fulfilling my position as treasurer, you know, the guy who's supposed to keep track of how much money is coming in and how much is going out, well, the one who came before me seems to have neglected to fill out some reports to the province for about a year. And so I spent a whole Saturday morning pondering money, looking for pennies, making sure everything balanced. By the time I was finished, my head was all buzzy, my eyes were blurry, and I didn't want to see another number as long as I lived. Well, you know, life can be like that, though. You can be totally distracted, or you could be totally bored. It seems that there's not very many opportunities to be constantly excited. It would be nice to be constantly excited, you know. Somebody would come along and say, I'm going to entertain you. Tomorrow, we're going to climb Mount Everest. And the day after that, we're going to take the bathysphere and go down into the Marianas Trench. And after that, we're going to go water skiing. And then maybe, if you don't mind, we're going to do some snowboarding because I know somebody who has a place in the Alps. And we're going to fly, you know, all these exciting things, one right after the other. Wouldn't that be much better than the boring, ordinary, everyday lives we normally endure? Wouldn't that be nice? Of course, would take a little bit of money and a little creativity on somebody's part. Life usually isn't exciting, but sometimes it is, as in the case of Jeremiah. God spoke to him and said, I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to speak for me. Wouldn't you get a little bit excited if God spoke to you? Wouldn't you be, wow, wouldn't this be wonderful? I've got this personal invitation from God. He spoke right to me. Wow. And Jeremiah was just as excited until he went out and started proclaiming everything God told him to do. And people started throwing mud and bricks and, you know, calling him all sorts of names. And he got really tired of all of that. But, you know, once you've established a relationship with God, it seems that it's really hard to give up. As he said in today's readings, the word of God becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. I must speak. He must speak. He must tell the good news of Jesus. Oh, you say Jesus wasn't there? But the good news of Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus is that truth made manifest in our world. And we ourselves are called to be prophets of that same word. We are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to be prophets. Now, prophets aren't fortune tellers. If they were, I'd love to be a prophet because I'd like to be able to find out what the stock market is going to do next week and make some significant investments. But prophets don't foretell the future. They tell what is. They tell what God is to us. And they tell what we are to one another. And that truth has been revealed by God throughout the ages. You know what it is. You've read about it. Or have you? You who have been called to be prophets, do you not know that about which you're going to prophesy? Looks like you have some study ahead of you. Maybe you need to ponder scriptures a little bit more deeply. listen to the writings of the early church fathers and all the documents that come out of the Vatican, and, of course, prayer. For it's okay to know up here, to know, I believe in God. Yes, Satan believes in God too. But it's a bit different when that knowledge of God becomes love of God. And you cannot have love for God until you meet Him. And we meet our God as we pray, as we open our minds and hearts to His presence in our lives. For we are indeed called to be prophets, and we need to do those things that make it possible for us to be prophets. You probably still don't want to be a prophet, do you? Because you read this scripture reading, and you know what happened to Jeremiah, and you know it'll happen to you. If you go about telling the good news and proclaiming Jesus Christ, people are going to start throwing mud and bricks at you, maybe not literally, but they might do it in ways that make you uncomfortable and maybe a little bit distressed. So it's really hard to be a prophet. So I put it to you, you got to pray, because courage requires grace, and grace comes through our real relationship with God. And of course, you should have that relationship. You really should. Those of you who are old enough remember the Catechism of Baltimore, where it says, you know, we are creatures composed of body and soul, made in the image and likeness of God, to know, love, and serve God in this world, and to be with Him forever in the next. Ooh, I could see people mouthing this off. They were forced to memorize it as a child, and they've never forgotten it. But that image and likeness of God, that's what we are made in. That's who we are. And we'll never be happy unless we become united with that one who made us. For that is who we are about. It is the core of our being. And somehow or another, that yearning, that thirsting for our God manifests itself in our world when we struggle to understand what is going on around us and are attracted to all sorts of good things. We are, in our whole life, seeking to be reunited with that from which we came. And of course, it's easy to get distracted. You know how easy it is to get distracted. Some days, things come along, like this bowl of chocolate ice cream, absolutely delicious bowl of ice cream, good to the taste, and good in its nutritional value. And the second bowl tastes just about as good, and the third and the fourth, and oh, suddenly chocolate ice cream isn't good for you anymore. Unless you like to weigh 450 pounds. Well, our God has placed many good things in our world, and we are indeed drawn to all of them. But He has also given us signposts to help us to understand which good things and how those good things should be used and how we should nurture one another on our journey of faith. St. Paul, in his letter today, asks us not to conform ourselves to this age. Don't be sucked in by every good thing that seems to be out there, but be transformed by a renewal of your mind. Listen to what God has revealed to you. I'll tell you, God has revealed to you. He's spoken to you. He's called you. He has named you and given you every single opportunity to respond to Him. How has He called you? From the good people who surround you. From the Word of God that you've meditated upon. The world in which you live. The very nature that surrounds us. The people who have loved you. God has called you and spoken to you. Sometimes we don't listen, but He has indeed spoken and called us to proclaim the good that He is and the good that was made manifest in His Son, Jesus Christ. Do not conform yourselves to this age. Be transformed by renewal of your mind, that you might discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is pleasing, what is perfect. Well, today is, I think, the day before Labor Day. You know that day which we celebrate labor, and although we call it Labor Day, no one is supposed to labor on that day. It's supposed to be a holiday. Why do we call this Labor Day such an important day? Because it is through our labor that somehow or another we come to be those prophets in the world. We come to be those prophets in the world. You say, but I'm an accountant. I work in a little cubicle off by myself, crunching numbers all day long. How in the world could I possibly be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in such a situation? Where you are is where God has called you to be his proclamation. Whether you be a youngster in school, whether you be an old person whose life is devoted to prayer and spoiling grandchildren, whatever your state in life, whatever your occupation, whatever your labor, that is where God has called you to proclaim the good news. And as an accountant sitting in a cubicle punching numbers, I think that accountant, if he is going to remain faithful to himself and faithful to his relationship with God, is going to be a very careful and thoughtful accountant. He will have integrity in everything that he does. And when he does meet other people, which he has to in order to get in and out of that cubicle, he's going to recognize them as those same gifts from God made in his image and likeness, and he's going to choose to do good for them. He's going to choose to be a blessing for them, to recognize in them that great gift that is God himself made manifest in this wonderful creation. And he's going to choose to be a blessing for them and allow them to be a blessing to himself. You are God's prophets in the world. You are called to proclaim good news. And although you may not do it on a crate out in the middle of the street, talking to people you don't know, you will live in the world, do the work that you do, and it's in that work and in that living that you are called to proclaim God's love. In this Eucharist, then, we are called deeply into Christ's love, into his life. And in that call, we are strengthened because he doesn't just say, come, but he gives us his very self, his body and his blood, his humanity and his divinity. And he sends us forth restored, renewed, and strengthened to be his ministry in the world. Well, one other little tiny thought, because you're going to go out into the world. The gospel today reminded me of a movie called A Man for All Seasons. And in that movie, Thomas More was brought to trial. And when the main witness against him was a fellow by the name of Richard Rich. Richard Rich came into the courthouse all filled with arrogance and pride because he was dressed in regal garments and had this giant medallion on his breast. He was prancing around in there, and he said, you know, Thomas More had denied the right of the king. He dot, 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 dot. He lied through his teeth all over the place. And after he'd finished his testimony, Thomas More asked the judge if he could examine the medallion that Richie Rich was wearing. And he called him over and he looked at the medallion and he said, why, Richard, this medallion is the governmental medallion of Wales. Richard, what profit would there be to gain the whole world and lose your soul? But for Wales? Now, Wales at that time was not very popular, and I don't want to say anything against Wales. But you will go out there and you will be tempted away from the Lord, and you will make compromises because of the good things that you encounter. Remember the gift you receive at this altar and struggle to avoid all of those ways in which the world is going to try to turn you away from Him. Be faithful to Christ, and He will be faithful to you. Love your Lord and God, and allow His Christ to dwell in your heart so that all you say and do may bring about the fulfillment of the kingdom.